The following is a paid program. Advice and opinions expressed during this program are solely that of the hosts or guests of this program and not of ESPN 106.3 or Good Karma Brands.
Yeah, here we go!
2 hours are not enough.
And that'll do it for regulation.
Welcome to the fifth quarter, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
Take this one to overtime.
Russo and Rizzo bring you the stories, the takes, and the breakdowns that go beyond the final whistle. We head into overtime. The fifth quarter starts now.
The fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. We're streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm. You got Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, and Christian Catt. You got a doubleheader of Monday Night Football on ESPN and ABC. You got both. The Atlanta Falcons coming off a bye, taking on the Buffalo Bills in the early game. That's at 7:15 on ESPN. Then on ABC, you got the Chicago Bears playing host to the Washington Commanders. You get two games back-to-back. You got a packed weekend of football to get into. We got you for the next hour here on the fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet. You also got a little bit of action here in the American League Championship Series. You got Seattle, top of the three. This has been a hits galore. Talk about yesterday where there wasn't a ton going on offensively. The floodgates have opened. I mean, the Seattle Mariners got to get two on top third. They have been hitting the ball all over the place, and Toronto has matched every punch. That has been a long game to this point. Game started an hour ago in the third inning.
Yep. So every time I turn to look at the game, someone's on base.
Somebody's on base. They got two on top three, two out. And Yesavage, who tore apart the Yankees last time we saw him, they have closed the gap here in terms of utilizing those pitchers. And then you got the Brewers and the Dodgers, which is going to be the late game tonight. And wow, what a play by that Dalton Varsho in center field.
Diving catch.
How about that? Jeez. But you got two good series going on. Hopefully one or both go seven. If I had to make a guess, I think this would be the series that goes seven. The American League Championship Series between the Mariners and the Blue Jays.
Blue Jays got to win tonight.
You got to win tonight.
I think they got to win tonight. You want to be 1-1 heading back home.
Absolutely.
Sorry, heading to Seattle. Excuse me.
Yeah.
You can't lose two at home. Especially with the momentum Seattle has as well. You get in front of their home fans. I mean, those people were crying after winning a series. That's how long it's been. I like what you said about their mojo. Seattle's mojo of being one of the teams that, you know, just hasn't been in the playoffs for a while. They're getting their first taste of going on a playoff run. They got a GM who's done everything in their power to try to make this work the last couple of trade deadlines. Those acquisitions like Naylor, Eugenio Suarez, this year are starting to work out.
And the 2-3-2 format in terms of the home and away, I think that favors actually the underdog. Seattle's already won a game. They got three games at home coming up after this.
And they have elite pitching. So they're going to be able to have pitchers in these next couple of games.
If they're able to steal the second game, they got to win two of the next three in their building.
Correct. That's
favor flips immediately, which is why that 2-3, the 2-2-1-1-1, I mean, is better for the home team. The 2-3-2, I would argue, is better for the away team. Really. Mm-hmm. I would make that argument today.
And I agree with you. If there's something to go seven, it's probably this Seattle series because I've been wrong a lot this MLB postseason. More often than not, I liked the Yankees. I liked the winner of the Yankees and the Red Sox coming out of the AL. The one place I haven't been wrong, Colin, has been the Dodgers. And I'm standing by what I said with the Dodgers. I just think they're better than everyone else. I don't see the Brewers giving them a fight.
You don't see this
I don't.
A David versus Goliath, Ali, Frazier.
I see a five-game series, six tops. No chance you get a game seven in that. I think the Dodgers probably wrap things up in five games. Brewers are steal one. Brewers will lose both in L.A. Brewers will be able to steal one. Now, the Brewers do have home field. Give them that. Brewers have home field. I think it's probably 1-1 when they go back to L.A.
Yeah, and
I think
straight in L.A.
I think L.A. wraps it up in L.A. Best guess. And it's still 2-3-2?
Yeah.
L.A. wraps it up. I hate that, by the way.
I think it favors the away team.
I do. I've been on the wrong end of 2-3-2 too many times as a Guardian fan playing the Yankees. I can't stand 2-3-2.
You got to steal one.
Cannot stand 2-3-2.
I think the Brewers, I give them a little credit, but I think it's been a little overblown.
Who is the pitching? And let me ask you this, because I think this is what it's going to come down to. Who's the pitching favorite? Does it favor LA? Or is it, because you're high in the Brewer pitching. That's why I ask.
Brewers got a better collection of arms. I would say the higher end of starters is the Dodgers by a clear margin.
What about bullpen? Because more often than not, you're not going to go five, Colin, some of these games. The Brewers, say what you want, they can hit. Dodgers can hit.
Here's the thing. Brewers are going to be bullpenning again. They got Aaron Ashby going. And Aaron Ashby went in game five. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be bullpenning once again. They're going to be nickel and diming their way to the end of the series. Well, Blake Snell, who they could have went Ohtani, but they're pitching Blake Snell in the early part because Blake Snell is probably the vet who wants the seven-game reset.
Yep.
And he doesn't want to wait too long. While Ohtani, you could pitch him whenever, and he's going to give you 10 Ks.
This is the nerd in me. I like, after our show, I'm going to dissect on how good the Brewers are at hitting left-handed pitchers. There's not a lot of left-handed starting pitchers out there like Blake Snell. There's not. So I think advantage LA tonight because you got an odd duck like Snell, who's one of the really good left-handed starting pitchers in the league, and you tell me it's a bullpen night for Milwaukee. I mean, geez, bullpen night. First game?
Looks like it.
Bullpen night?
Looks like it.
That kid, that gaffer, excuse me, wrong sport. Is that manager? Is he awake?
It's because, you know, losing Brandon Woodruff really hurt them earlier in September.
Bullpen night? It's game one.
I mean, that's the thing. They played in a game five. That's where the Dodgers are rested. Now, here, on the other side of things, we thought Seattle would roll into this Toronto series half
but
asleep.
But they have starters.
With
starters.
Half asleep, though.
But they
I agree. And you're seeing it today with Logan Gilbert. Logan Gilbert pitched on Friday. He gave him three innings on Friday. They were able to go Bryce Miller yesterday, who pitched well. Played well. And the thing about the Mariners is they have Brian Wu, who is one of the best pitchers in the American League, who didn't even go in the ALDS, and he probably should pitch at some point this series.
My thing, though, Kyle, Brewers went bullpen in game five.
And it worked.
Why the hell are they going bullpen again tonight? Where's the starter? You're at home. I don't know. And listen, like, maybe they...
Game five is do everything you can.
But what I'm saying is they should have a starter available, no? You're closer. You follow that Brewer team closer than I do, brother.
My God. I understand what you're saying.
That's what I would... If I'm a Brewer fan today, I'm asking, why the hell do we have a starter available?
I'm going to see if they have it set for tomorrow, because I imagine tomorrow's Yamamoto. They're going to pitch Ohtani whenever they need him, because he could pitch whenever. Yeah, they got Peralta ready to rock and roll tomorrow.
Who got rocked the last time he stepped out
thinking,
onto the bump.
If I'm Milwaukee... I'm under the impression that, yes, they want to win tonight, but if you're the Dodgers, there's probably a reason they're going Snell early instead of Ohtani, because they're thinking, all right, if they're going to bullpen it, if we could steal 5-6 innings out of our starter and our offense can get to their... Because what are you going to do? You throw a bunch of rookies, a couple unproven guys out there against that murderer's row of a lineup? That's where I would lean to the side of...
So
Dodgers just trying to steal one.
So Brewers played Saturday.
Yeah.
They went bullpen. And now
the
reason I'm on this, Colin, the bullpen's already taxed. You're going to go back to the bullpen after you went bullpen night 2 days ago?
Now, the good news is they were able to go to their rookie, Mizorowski, and that guy was able to give him about three
Why
and a half innings.
Why not go Mizorowski?
Here's the thing. They don't want to start him because that guy's going to get blown up. And he went three innings and a third on Saturday. You're not going to use him on Monday. That's where I don't know Milwaukee's strategy here. But I would lean the side that they're going to nickel and dime their way through this series unless they got Peralta on the mound.
It's seeming like Peralta's their lone starter. And Mizorowski comes in and throws for 3-4 in. Colin, they have what is this, Corey Kluber circa 2016 for the Indians, where he's pitching every other day? Where are the starters? You told me his team had it pitching. Patrick's pitched four innings.
They've had a lot.
Stop it. Where's the starters?
And Patrick went the other day.
Mizorowski was an all-star.
Oh, hold on. A phony all-star. He had four starts.
Those people write home about him.
The problem is they lost Woodruff, and Woodruff would have been their second guy. They have a plethora of arms.
This is Corey Kluber, man, all over again.
Mike, I understand what you're saying. They have better pitching than Chicago, and that's not saying much. See, the Dodgers, they're so fortunate that they figured out their closer role. They're so fortunate that Roki Sasaki has been some sensation.
I don't even know.
Pen.
What do you call him? Just the hired
just
gun that comes
in? Put him in there and he'll mow people down.
The bounty hunter of Django Fett for three innings?
And he was able to go three in game four against the Phillies. Three perfect innings at that.
Say what you want quickly. Say what you want about the Cubs. At least they had Boyd and Imananga. They had Boyd. I mean, they had starters. Did they get rocked? Sure. But they had arms, and were, for that matter, arms that pitched well in the regular season that were available. I'm just surprised that the Brewers don't have another starter.
They have a lot of arms.
Outside of Peralta.
They have a lot of arms. Like, Uribe is pretty good. Quintana, if they utilize him, is good. Ashby is not bad. But, like, Mizorowski has pitched well for the most part. So
They should have made, granted, he pitched Saturday, correct?
Who?
And Mizorowski.
Yes.
And Peralta started Thursday.
Correct. Yes.
So you're telling me Freddie can't go?
Freddie's going to go tomorrow.
Friday, Saturday,
go
Sunday.
5 days. Why short rest him at home when you can wait one day?
I guess you're right.
I thought it was my public school head.
Yeah. I thought it was 5 days. No, it's been four.
Don't short rest him.
Okay. Well, listen. Who am I to question what's been working for them then? I just find it unbelievable you don't have
Milwaukee.
A second starter
Milwaukee
to play.
Milwaukee can win the game if they score. That's going to be Milwaukee's game. They gave up a home run in every single opening inning of that Chicago series. They're going to need to score often to beat the Dodgers.
Sure.
They know that. Phillies, we questioned their pitching, and they were able to shut the Dodgers down once they got to L.A. They just couldn't score.
My question to you, how long is this sustainable, what they're doing, to have one starter?
I'm on the same board as you. I think you're going to see a plethora of talent versus a bunch of guys who have played great at the right time. Andrew Vaughn has played great. Bryce Terang has played great. Are these guys consistently? Yelich is a good player, a very good player. Are they consistently amazing players? Ohtani went 1-for-18 in the series against the Phillies. They won in 4. Like, Freddie Freeman has done a whole lot of nothing in the postseason. Mookie's been great, but Freeman has done a whole lot of nothing. It's been Kike, Tommy Edman, Mookie Betts.
They're deep, Kyle.
They got 100 guys.
They do.
So that's why.
And that's what money gets
you.
And their
big problem was bullpen. That was their big thing. That you could beat the Dodgers if you get into their bullpen. You know, Vesia is probably the most reliable guy. And then they got Blake Treinen, who's not that good. Then they figured out, let's throw the Japanese phenom back there. And then he starts mowing people down.
By the way, who is unplayable for the first 3.5 months of the MLB season.
And then he reset a little bit. He wasn't ready for the lights. And he's ready.
That kid was unplayable. That's what the Dodgers are able to do. They're able to work out Roki Sasaki for 4 months because they have the talent to do it. Folks, fifth quarter brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. I'm on the Hard Rock Bet app right now. -150 on the road for the Dodgers to win outright. I mean, Colin, if I had to put money on this game, it's that +130 money line from Milwaukee. That's the bet. So the run line for the Dodgers, -1.5, is +110. I think the best bet on the app tonight, if you want to root for a game, is probably Milwaukee +130.
You got to hope if they can knock around, and their offense has gotten started, and Milwaukee's offense is good. Don't undersell their offense. Their offense is really good. They're a little bit like Toronto, where they got a lot of timely hitters.
I think it's a must. You're going to laugh. I think it's like a must-win game for Milwaukee tonight. Come out strong, win on your home field, and really force the Dodgers to win that game too. If the Dodgers win tonight, that's such a momentum swing. The road team winning in game one, job accomplished in one game. I mentioned to you how much I hate the 2-3-2 format.
Yeah, that's what Seattle could say.
Job's done.
Job's done right now is a cherry on top.
Yep, job's done for them.
They stole one on the road, and they got a lot of good starters still waiting to get started here.
Yep.
So I agree with you.
So I think the pressure
and they got
cooker.
A day off tomorrow, and they could let all those guys who didn't have the rest in the first, after Friday's 15-inning, marathon, they could let those guys relax.
Pressure cooker is Milwaukee tonight, and I said 5 games. Tonight might be the game. +130 is a good bet for Milwaukee.
I think that this is going to come back to Milwaukee. I do. I think for the last 2 games, this series will be back in Milwaukee. And I think that I would take the Dodgers not to allow it to get to 3. I think the Dodgers are going to have a 3-2 lead post 5 games.
Dodgers
going into game 6.
They're undefeated at home in the playoffs. They didn't lose to Cincinnati.
Correct.
They didn't lose last series.
They lost.
Schwarber hit the home runs. You're right. Mm-hmm. Schwarber hit all the home runs.
They won 2 in Philly, and then, yes.
Maybe it's not an indestructible fortress as I make it out to be, but, Colin, they don't have a Schwarber. They don't have the guy who's going to hit. Milwaukee doesn't have the guy who's hitting 2 home runs in a game.
Milwaukee's
correct?
True. Milwaukee's got a better lineup, 1-9. They got a better lineup.
Do they?
Yes.
Than the Phillies?
At least
Phillies is the best money can buy you.
At this time right now, yes. Okay. They got a little bit of Toronto. It's like the Yankees versus Toronto. They got more timely hitters.
Who's their Vladdy? Vlad's the bopper. Is their bopper Churio? I mean,
Churio is their best all-around offensive player.
He's unreal. And let's make something clear. Churio's going to be one of the best players in the MLB.
Andrew Vaughn, who they acquired at the midpoint of the season, who was playing in AAA for the White Sox in July and June, has been a revelation. He's got two homers this postseason. It's been fantastic.
Dude, Vaughn was a top three pick in the MLB draft 5 years ago.
You nailed it. Top third overall.
Yeah.
So they have a bunch of first round picks, which is why this is not the Island of Misfit Toys. These are all a bunch of first round picks.
Yes.
These are all a bunch of highly touted picks. Sure. This is not like the A's stringing together, you know, the guy from across the street to come play for them. This has been a team that has put together the right pieces at the right time, and they also got a hell of a manager. Pat Murphy's a great manager, but you're right. A rested Dodger team, you got to think that they're going to come out and come out firing.
That's why I was grilling you about the pitching, because I find it unbelievable that a team that is in the NLCS has to go back-to-back bullpen games after going bullpen game in a must-win game 5.
I mean,
that's crazy.
Who knows? If Ashby can give them, I don't know what his inning limit is, but if he could give them four innings.
He's went 4.2 in 4 games so far. He started 1 game. So in 4 appearances and starting 1 game, Ashby has went 4.2.
Yeah.
So I think he's going 2 innings.
If he's
going
to go 2, and then maybe they go to Quinn Priester, who knows what they do. But the one thing about them is they're going to nickel and dime their way through this first game. And then hopefully Peralta gives them a good start. This is what playoff baseball is. Yeah. It's about your arms, not about your starters.
Sure.
I think that's a little overrated of a prospect these days.
Pat Murphy's playing the matchups. From the looks of it, he's playing the matchups. He's
absolutely
not doing.
And that's probably what their game plan is.
He's not doing the old. You know me. I'm so the baseball I watched growing up.
I trust the staff more than the player.
The baseball that I watched with Terry Francona almost for the better half of 10 years was you got 3 starters. You got your 7th inning guy. You got your 8th inning guy. Got your 9 inning
you
guy.
You can make the argument.
Brewers don't do that.
You can make the argument that Milwaukee sort of got the monkey off their back. They vindicated their regular season a little bit by getting to the championship series. You can make the argument that some Brewer fans are expecting a World Series. You know, they lost to the Dodgers in 2018. They lost in a 7-game series there as well. You can make the argument that they're looking to get ahead of that. But the one thing you can say is the Brewers have vindicated Freed that regular season and the dark cloud that was potentially over them if they didn't beat Chicago.
And it's
they beat Chicago. They got away from that. Now I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah.
What level of a series do they need to put up in order to have the Brewer fan feel pretty good about it if the Dodgers are just that great?
I think Brewer fan wants a 7-game series.
I agree with you. I think a 6-game series disappoints the team. I think a 7-game series minimum is going to be like, still a hell of a season.
It's a team that won 97 games. They have home field in the NL.
Of a bunch of teams that had their highs and lows, the Brewers were the team that mostly stayed high the whole season.
I think they want nothing less than 7 games and a thrilling series. And I got to give them credit, all right? You know, I sports hate the Packers. I don't sports hate the Brewers. I picked the Cubs in that series because that's what the Brewers do. They, you know, how many times have they lost in that?
Yeah, Bob Uecker passes away. One of the legendary broadcasts. Do they have a little mojo with that?
But
who
they
knows?
Proved it. They proved that they could win a playoff series. They proved that they're one of the best teams in the NL. Folks, I just think the Dodgers, it's like my cousin's to the point. My cousin Blake, who I love dearly, a big baseball fan like us, Kyle. He goes, Mike, I don't need to watch. I know who's going to win. It's the Dodgers. And I understand that's why he would feel that way. I honestly do.
There's totally a possibility that we come out Wednesday to do the show, and we both say, after either the Dodgers are up 2-0 or 1-1, thinking they're just too good.
Right.
That is a very much in the cards that they are just too good.
I'm still there. That's why I picked them in 5. Especially with the stupid 2-3-2.
I think it'll be too much
as
well.
If I'm the Milwaukee fan, if you're listening to me, remember, I hate the 2-3-2, all right? I hate it. Can't stand it. They need to change it.
It's sort of like what the Mets did last year. This happened with the Mets last year. Remember, that was the team of destiny. Remember this?
Yeah.
Last year,
Hang on. You loved the Mets last year.
Loved them.
Now you hated them this year. You took their under and you cashed that ticket.
They sold out. They sold their souls.
We were outside of Port St. Lucie, Clover Park, and Colin was telling Met fan, hammer that under. They laughed at him.
They laughed at me.
They laughed at him.
Who's laughing now?
To the bank.
The Mets are always going to Mets.
Priest Rob.
Father Rob.
There you go.
Father Rob.
There you go.
Who, by the way, was in Vegas last week. Father Rob, for those who don't know.
Friend of show.
Is friend of show, number one. Number two, he's my father's gambling. I'm going to do this legally. Gambling partner. And He's a great friend of family friend, whatever. He's a former priest, but he's for 9 years ago, he stopped being a priest. Obviously, you don't know any priests that are bookies. He's retired from being a priest, and but we still call him Father Rob. He was in Vegas last week, asked for my NBA picks and my NHL picks for my futures, and I told him, I said I want the St. Louis Blues over on points, 84.5. They're 1-1, by the way, so they got 2 points. And I told him, I said, I want the Mavericks over. I want the Raptors over. I want the Nets over. And I told them Clippers under, just off of let's root against the Clippers. Bad mojo, old team. Similar to what I did with the 76ers last year.
I took their under last year and I got burned.
You got burned because they were healthy. But I just did that off of the mojo. It was like 48.5.
Yeah.
And he said, I only got the Blues and the Mavericks in. Why didn't you get the other ones in? What were you doing? So now... we're going to have to, we'll do it through a Hard Rock Bet, which is fine. But it was funny because I usually do it with him, and it's funny because he only gets 2 of the 5 in.
By the way, Father Rob was nice enough to break down the Pope with us on this
when
program.
When Pope Leo got, what's the word? I don't know. Inaugurated?
Anointed.
Anointed. And he jumped on. We did Pope Legacies for about 25 minutes. And then that was the day after the Celtics fell down 2-0 to the Knicks and they were still favored in the series. And you were all in on...
No, the Cavs. It was the Cavs.
Was it the Cavs series?
It was the Cavs series. It was the Cavs and the Pacers. And Father Rob was saying the easiest bet is the Pacers to win the series.
I thought it was when Boston fell down 2-0.
I got defensive over the Cavs.
Because I think that was... It was, first of all, they were happening at the same time.
They were.
So I think it was around the same
time. I disagreed with Father Rob on all fronts. The Celtics, the Cavs.
You were
I was dead wrong. And you want to know what I was? Dead wrong.
Dead wrong.
Christian, we got in trouble for talking to the priest, by the way, on this program.
Yeah, so. It was a boring 30 minutes.
No,
dead wrong. Another one who's dead wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
Everybody wants to break down the Pope, but they don't actually want to get somebody who knows what he's talking about.
No one wants to break down the Pope,
tell me what you told me. Breaking down the Pope and breaking down NBA playoffs with a former priest.
That's what sports radio is all about.
Kind of agree with that. I kind of agree with
the
that.
Fifth quarter,
you said it doesn't make it true.
The fifth quarter.
I think your father would have appreciated
that. The fifth quarter
segment.
Presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Catt will do our best bet from over the weekend, best bet for the Monday games, and also the underdog picks. What could we have strung together to win some real cash? We'll do that next. Stick around for it. It's the fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.
Overtime intensity meets nonstop debate.
Hey, guys, that's a f***ing embarrassment out there.
This is the fifth quarter, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
All right, we got doubleheader Monday Night Football tonight. We also had a packed weekend of football, especially on the college side, with a lot of upsets. So we're going to see if Mike and I were smart. What were our underdog bets? Underdog of the weekend. Let's see, Mike. All right, so we were smart. Let's do a little underdog, best underdog bet presented by Hard Rock Bet. Here's how we're going to do this. We're going to go through the full college slate because college had more upsets than the NFL did. And there's a couple directions that we could go here. Let's do the obvious, the one who got a coach fired.
What?
Correct. And
you want to take a guess at what Northwestern was in the money line?
Christian. Wasn't UCLA like...
You owe me a soda.
Plus 12,000 UCLA. So yeah. I'm going to think 11? Plus 1,100.
Too much. Plus 800.
But okay. Still, unbelievable. And Christian, what did you and I both agree on earlier in the hour?
You should have fired him. Yeah.
Talk about another coach that maybe...
Can't lose to Northwestern at home, mate. You can't do it.
Add Northwestern to the parlay. That's plus 800 on that front. Let's do another team with a coach that maybe should be fired. Pitt beat... down on Florida State.
He was chewing out a defensive coordinator while walking off the field.
He was, and you want to know why? Director of Ops, Dave Judah, appreciate him explaining to me why. I was too focused on the Buckeye game, but I asked him about it. They had a linebacker spy all game that just completely was getting obliterated on every play. The quarterback was just doing his thing. The spy was getting blocked, and all hell broke loose. That's why
adjusted.
He was getting chewed out. Never adjusted. Ooh. Never adjusted either. That's why. Did you see what I sent you on Instagram? They're going to the get rid of Norvell card. Norvell also a $50 million buyout, similar to Coach Franklin. Colin, would you get rid of Mike Norvell By the way, plus 300 was that money line.
I wouldn't. That team's in a different spot than Penn State. That team just needs to recapture some assembly of stability. Penn State's not in that spot.
You want to know what I told Director of Ops Dave Druda, diehard Penn State fan, Stephanie Prince, our GM, diehard Penn State fan, Florida State fan. You want to know what I told them? Worst thing that could have happened for Norvell was winning that Alabama game. Do you want to know why? Set expectations.
Yeah, the expectations.
It set expectations of, okay, we're great now.
If
they
were 3-3 with a loss, that's a good point. If they were 3-3 with a loss to that Alabama game, we'd be going around thinking, all right, this is exactly what we expect.
Expectations were set the moment they beat Alabama. And listen, it's a college football, man. It's college football. And Norvell, they're spending money. Like Christian complained about Penn State and the money they're spending, they should be better. I say the same thing about Florida State. Terrible loss. You can't lose at Doak Campbell against a team that might not even make a bowl game at the end of the year. Christian Pitt was plus 300. Kyle, what's our next bet?
This is another one that I'm surprised the number was this high comparatively to what they did last week. People thought it would be a little bit of a hangover game, but UCLA was going on the road to take on Michigan State University in East Lansing. They were plus 210 to win the game.
Hey, blow them out.
38-13.
Christian wasn't close. Aiden Childs had a terrible game. Nico I proved to everybody why he was a sought-after quarterback after he decided to kind of, you know, mess over Penn State for a better,
They might meet Ohio State in Indianapolis.
Who's that?
UCLA might meet Ohio State in Indianapolis. No one else wants to be the second-best team.
I guess, Christian.
They're playing Indiana at Indiana.
Get a tiebreaker. Hang on, how about this? It's not going to happen, but it's possible because...
And they got Ohio State on the road.
All of UCLA's losses were against the worst out-of-conference opponents that they scheduled all year. They lost every game they were supposed to blow out.
They also lost to Northwestern, who's underrated.
They stink.
When Penn State upsets Indiana and Ohio State, the path is there for UCLA.
Hold on. Can we start to give Northwestern a little bit of credit?
Christian, you know I'm very worried every year about the Penn State game. You're telling me advantage Penn State in that game against Ohio State with Franklin gone? You're going to show up better than you would have with Coach Franklin and Drew Aller.
Yes, I am telling you that now.
What?
If they didn't fire Coach Franklin going into that game, yeah, I'm more confident.
Punch. It was a lifeless punch.
This team is going to play free and easy and motivated. This team is going to play with circumstances they quite literally never have been able to before.
Especially if they love Franklin, this would be a James Franklin game.
You think I worry about anything. I worried about Illinois. Should I be worried about Penn State at home, Christian?
That's in 2 weeks.
You're telling me I'm worried about Wisconsin in Camp Randall. Historically great college football atmosphere and a story program in Wisconsin.
Historically incorrect. I could tell you that from a
Wisconsin
first-hand experience.
Wisconsin is a storied college football program with a great home field advantage.
Please, nonsense.
It's a tough place to play.
It's not. It's quite easy.
So UCLA won as plus
210. You know who beat Wisconsin at Wisconsin? Northwestern. Go ahead.
210, Christian.
Yeah, if you parlayed together, a cup of coffee parlay, $5. That's it. And you said, you know what, Northwestern, UCLA,
Pitt,
$553. $553 in your pocket by those three games
together.
So,
Christian, that $5 I'd spent at a no-name please coffee barista could have won me $550.
Yeah.
With our good friends at Hard Rock Bet.
A brand new Switch, right?
I need it. Guys, Legend ZA is coming out.
Nope.
Christian, play it on the plane.
Christian, I know I don't have to tell you how expensive rent is down here in West Palm Beach. Boys, I don't have $650 to just go on a new... That too.
Did the car get fixed?
Yeah, it did. It's good.
Runs okay?
Running like a dream until something else happens, right? It's got 42,000 miles on it. Did you miss this?
I listened.
Okay. All right. Never mind. Then we don't need to go
through it. His
car
fell apart in the middle of Congress in the left lane, and him and a police officer rolled it to the cross the road. Onto the sidewalk. It was the Blues Brothers where one of them is pushing from behind, the other one's steering the wheel.
By the way, I forgot to, that happened at noon. I was on my way into work. Should I be alarmed that, no one from the station reached out to me when it was, 3:09? Hey, are you coming in today?
I think that's more about you than it is about everybody else.
Fair enough. I was just I totally remember. Crap, I forgot to text B-Man. Oh, my God, he's probably chewing me out.
You didn't even tell our boss?
Dude,
you didn't tell anybody?
I didn't tell anybody.
We got things going on here. I'm not worried about where Mike's
I'm not asking you. I'm not saying you. You were doing theoretically speaking.
Okay. You didn't talk to Brian?
I didn't tell Brian till three. But like, you got to realize,
you didn't tell him till three.
I was shell shocked. Like,
you were sitting in a mechanic's office. What are you waiting
for? But I'm on the phone with my dad. I'm on the phone with my uncle. I'm pacing.
He's got the ambulance metal blanket or those ones.
I'm pacing. Colin, you know me. I'm a pacer. I can't sit still. My heart's going. I'm breathing heavy.
So, yeah, of course, you make the calls you need to call, but you didn't call the one who's expecting you.
And then 3 o'clock comes around. I go, my dad goes, did you tell Brian? I'm like, totally. I'm an idiot. He goes, they're probably calling you. I looked at my phone.
Nobody called.
My dad's like freaking out, saying that like they're upset with me. I look at my phone. And then I told my dad, I'm like, I think we're good. But anyway, Christian, I had a hell of a Friday. I really did. It was one of the worst. And I brought it upon myself because I said, you know, and I admitted that I live a very privileged life. Us getting bamboozled from that parking lot was one of the worst losses I had in 2025. And then the day after, I have to pay $1,300 to fix my car.
We said, you want adversity,
correct,
Mike?
Correct. There you go, pal. There you go, pal.
What parking lot are you talking about?
No switch in Legend ZA for you.
Well, we used to be able to park right behind the office.
Oh, yes.
And now we are about, I don't know, 0.15 miles away. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that has caused an uproar in the office. We've changed parking garages. It's true.
Stinks. We should go, I don't know. What's a way to take action?
You want to boycott who?
I don't know. I didn't use the word boycott, but I want a word that would, I don't know,
Hang on, to be fair,
you want to get some signs?
You're indifferent on this. I don't care.
It doesn't bother me.
You don't care, Christian? I can't stand it.
Dude, I don't.
Are you angry?
I like that walk in the morning.
If it was covered, I wouldn't care.
The city place walk I like.
But the rain is a pain. The rain, it's South Florida, and the time we get out of work, it's almost always raining.
And Christian, my thing, boys, I don't know what it is, and I'm interested to hear your perspective on this because I might be the only human being on earth that this happens to. I work out right before I come into work. So, like, I work out, I shower, and I come right into work. Boys, for some reason, I sweat like Patrick Ewing in the fourth quarter when I get into work after making that walk. I have to sit in my production room in my dungeon for like 10 minutes to cool off because I got
sweat. Did you sweat that much on the walk?
Because I got sweat dripping from my belly.
You sweat that much on the
walk? I wonder if it's because I run 3 miles, go right into the shower,
jump out,
and then walk in 85-degree weather. But like, one day,
you're sitting in the car with AC. Our teammate Dom,
she looked at me. She goes, dude, are you okay? I'm like dripping sweat. This is an everyday thing.
You were having
thing.
Like a panic attack. Bro, and you're sweating?
This is an everyday thing. So like I
don't sweat that much walking and I don't work out. So that might be a you thing.
Colin, is it because I'm like exerting so much energy? Am I screwing with the body temperature too much?
I think that makes sense after the shower. Because that happens to me. If you go for a run on like, you know, in the morning or whatever, you come in, your body temperature is really hot. You jump into the shower. And you know, I don't get very cold water here. And if you come in and out, you could start sweating after the shower just because your body temperature is not cool yet. But that's not going to happen, especially after sitting in the car for 10 minutes driving here with AC. I don't know. It's not that. Unless you have like some boil point that like you can't come down from after a workout.
How can we be civilly disobedient to our leasing office or whatever to get our parking garage back?
It's unfortunate because Jess Welke, who was a teammate of ours,
was our
front line. She was the George Washington on the boat to the Delaware with the parking garage people, and she just took another opportunity here in West Palm.
Dude, Jess was a no-nonsense gal, and I appreciate that.
She was our frontline fighter.
You ready for this?
I really did.
You were supposed to destroy the Sith, not join them.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
All right, so when
Jess is going to be the one we have to deal with if we want to move parking garages.
When he says a Star Wars line, it's okay.
I had
when
to Google
I
it.
Say a Star Wars line, it's DEFCON 5.
You had to Google. You had to. You
I've never
to.
Watched Star Wars, but I've heard the
did
meme
you know that,
format.
Mike? You never watched Star Wars?
You were supposed to join the blank.
You were supposed to join the Sith, not join them.
Bring balance to the Force.
Not leave it in darkness.
I fell asleep during the first one. I was like, this is just not for me.
I hate you.
Harry Potter guy, through and through.
You want to talk about a postseason? How about Jorge Polanco with a 3-run shot? That guy has been all over the place with go-aheads. Game 5, game 1, and now game
Christian.
3. Or game
good.
2.
You are my brother, Anakin. I loved you.
That was actually pretty good. Yeah, not bad.
See, calling my attention to that was the wrong thing because I don't know what you're talking about.
That's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It is the best Jedi ever.
Oh my God. Please.
He represents everything you would ever want. Dedicated.
There's not a lot of options. That's the problem. There's not a lot of great.
No, there are a lot of options if you watch the Clone Wars and you know, actually are a Star Wars fan.
Enough.
Okay, sorry.
Enough.
I'm so happy the Blue Jays are losing.
That's a bunch of jerks. That's a hate watch for you.
Especially
in Toronto.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're it's un-American to root for Toronto.
How do we let them in the American League and they're not in the United States of America?
You have a problem with Canadians, Christian?
Representing the American League, I just have a semantics problem. That's all.
Fair enough.
Well, we got two Monday Night Football games tonight. Let's figure out our Monday Night best bets. Presented by Hard Rock Bet. Monday Night Football on Hard Rock Bet. Check it out today, and we got two games to choose from, so we got a lot of action we could get in on. All right, number one, Buffalo Bills are favored tonight by 3.5 on the road at Atlanta. Mike, we have the Bills in our cover 5.
Yep.
The over-under was 49.5. It has moved up to 50 in the meantime. And then on the other side, the Bears are getting 5 points on the road against the Commanders post-bye. That over-under is also about 49.5. What is screaming to you here?
I actually created a parlay. I'm going with Buffalo.
Buffalo minus 3.5.
-3.5.
I agree with that.
And I'm going James Cook anytime touchdown. That's $20 to win 52 plus 160 odds. Sign me up. I said earlier in the show that they got to get the run game back on track. What turned Buffalo, in my opinion, into an elite of an elite team in the AFC year in and year out.
The MVP of the league play complimentary.
Right. What turned them into that, Colin, is James Cook in that run game. Get that run game back on track. Cook had 15 carries for 45 yards. Unacceptable. I'm going with James Cook anytime. Tutty, Buffalo -3.5. That's $20 to win 52 plus 160 odds.
I'm all over that Bills line as well. Coming off a loss, too. I don't care if it's on the road. Atlanta's a team. Hey, Brian Callahan, the first domino has fallen. I'd bet my hard-earned money that Raheem Morris is going to be one of the next ones to be fired midseason. I do not think that he will last very long in Atlanta as head coach. As the other side of things, the Bears +5. Maybe I have a soft spot for the Bears. I would take the Bears +5 here. Commanders had a great win last week at Los Angeles, but the Bears are coming off their bye. And I think Ben Johnson off the bye, this is a team that not only Ben Johnson coached well against in the postseason, but Jared Goff sort of blitzed the whole operation. They've been able to score. That Commander defense, I don't think, is going to scare him too bad. If Caleb Williams can play well, if they can run the football, control the tempo of the game, I think the Bears are the team that are really going to benefit from an off week. I think that is sort of a Ben Johnson-coded thing. I like Bears +5.
All right, how about this? I'll take your Bears +5 because I like it too, and I'll add a Rome Odunze anytime touchdown.
What's that number?
That's $20 to win 72 plus 260. Odunze has been on fire. I love that. Bears +5, Rome to anytime touchdown. That's $20 to win 72 plus 260. And folks, I'm right on the Hard Rock app.
Like, I like that.
Literally, go to your Discover tab, type in Chicago. The Chicago-Washington game comes right up. I took +5. I go to player props. It's all right there on the app. That's $20 to win 72. Give me the Bears!
I'm in on the Bears, though. I know you.
Dude,
I
like the Bears.
You drink the Kool-Aid a little too much.
I always do.
Well, a little too much.
The Peoria it rubbed off on me a bit. I kind of like the Bears. I don't have second teams because I am a brutal Cleveland fan. But if I had a second team, it would be the Chicago Bears.
Fair enough.
Sounds like the Chicago Bears are your second team.
Thank you, Christian. I'm not allowed to say that as a Cleveland fan.
Wow. Is it like cheating?
It's cheating.
It's cheating. Oh, things get tough and you're on to the Bears.
I can't have that getting back to Cleveland that I silently root for the Bears and the Cubs.
Well,
can't
you're,
have that get back.
Well, if only we were on a station that has a sister station also in Cleveland.
It's the joke, folks. Uh-huh. It's the joke.
Uh-huh. While your wife is just chain smoking in the front lawn. Oh, you talk to her, huh?
Dude, guys, can I complain about the Browns for 20 seconds? How is the offense worse than it was last year? They averaged 15 points a game last year. They're averaging 13, or the only team in the NFL to not score over 18 points in a game. I think the coach has to go, Kyle. I like Stefanski. I think he needs a new venture, and I think the Browns need a clean slate.
My response to that, if you're going to flush it, flush it.
They need, but
get everybody we have a saying, out.
If it takes Stefanski getting fired to get Barry fired, we're for it. And throw that Paul Darth, or in the Star Wars segment, throw Darth DePodesta in there too, because no one knows what the hell that nerd does in the facility.
If you're gonna get rid of everybody, if you're gonna get rid of him, get rid of everybody. I completely agree. If you're gonna flush it, flush it. Don't take the Tennessee Titans way of doing it. Get a completely new regime in there.
I think Darth DePodesta is like Lord Sidious, just making sure everything goes wrong
How
for
about
the
this?
Browns.
And if, let's say, assuming that they don't like either of the two quarterbacks. They don't like Gabriel. They don't like Shador. They don't have a lot of capital wrapped up in them in terms of the draft picks. That's a good job. Why is that a good job? Because they got a good defense. They've had a great draft class that just got through there. And they got 6 or 7 impact players. They got 2 first rounders next year. And they got an opening general manager and a head coaching gig if they fire both of them. I know they have a nightmare to deal with Watson, but that's done, I believe, after next year, right? They can move on from that after one more year.
One more year.
So once that's done, they get their pick in the litter. They're going to have a good pick in the draft. And that new coach and next new general manager can walk into a pretty solid base.
Two things why the current brass is there quickly. I think Haslam, the owner, feels bad because it was him who did the Watson deal, and he feels like he didn't give a fair shot to Stefanski and Barry, and I think he also is tired of the stigmatism that the Browns fire everybody. But in hindsight, I think it's time. It's time to clean the slate. I think he's wrong here, but we'll see. How about this shout? I think Gabriel and Sanders both could be playing for different teams next year. I want to see Shador.
If you are going to flush it, flush it.
Gabriel, it's unfair to say that he stinks, but like I think you need to give Shador a chance at some point.
You're going to see him. So to make that, you're not good. You're not playing well enough. You're going to see him. But if you're going to flush it, flush it. Get everything out. It's the circus. Rid yourself of that curse. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo, Christian Katt. That was our Monday Night Football Best Bet presented by Hard Rock Bet. It is the fifth quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet. We'll close out the program, give our score predictions on the other side of things. It's fifth quarter on ESPN 106.3.
The game's in the books, but the story isn't finished. This is the fifth quarter, presented by Hard Rock Bet.
It's rivalry week in the fifth quarter, presented by Hard Rock Bet, because, hey, college football is in town this weekend, where my alma mater, Wisconsin, Mike's sort of alma mater, Ohio State.
I went there. You know what, Christian? I'm upset. I'm honestly upset that Colin and I aren't. We should be at that game. We should have done a Wednesday to Friday trip. Kyle and I should be at what's the Madison Studios called?
The Everlight Solar Studios in Madison.
We should have been at the Everlight Solar Studios in Madison, and we should be breaking down Ohio State and Wisconsin football.
That would be worse than the Pope talk.
All I know is the two schools that we went to, and like
you're dead wrong on the Pope talk.
Yeah, you are dead wrong there. We're not accepting that. But to be fair, I think we should have went to that game. I think it's a bad look. I have a best friend that works in Madison. You went there. All your buddies are going to the game. I've been dying.
They're not going to the game. They're going to be in the city while the game is going on.
Christian, I've been dying to visit Madison. My best friend, Matt Miller,
he was a coach there.
I've never visited him one time.
Where you did screw up is one of your best friends, Johnny Weisner, is there.
Weiser.
is there, and he works at ESPN Madison, and you not visiting.
And Cousin Scotty, Cousin Scotty.
Who's Cousin Scotty?
Fellow Buckeye honk, he's going to be there. All right.
Yeah, I brought this up.
But hang on, I brought this up to our GM Stephanie, and she did not want us leaving during football season. So like, you know,
Christian was in Chicago over the weekend. You could have went.
I don't. She was upset when I brought it up. Remember?
I don't remember.
Did.
She was fine.
I don't know.
You would have been able to go. Christian was in Chicago over the weekend.
I don't work on the weekends.
Yeah, I got in Miami.
Do they have a game this weekend?
Yeah, I'm on the call.
Oh, okay.
Ken's doing FAU.
There's your answer.
Oh, yeah. What is this guy making a stink out of nothing? Yeah. You're going to pass up an opportunity to call a Lionel Messi goal?
No, but I think it's a disgrace. My friends are calling me, both of us, a disgrace for not being at that game.
No,
Have your friends take a look at the box score from Saturday at Camp Randall Stadium, 37-0.
You don't want to go see the Buckeyes?
No. I have no interest.
Best team in the country.
No, that's true. Colin will never get a chance to see the Buckeyes, especially not in Hard Rock Stadium this year, because they're not going to be in the national championship game. That'd be crazy.
Or in the Orange Bowl. Uncle you didn't even mention the Orange Bowl, hang on, which is two games early.
Uncle P's going to get his tickets again, if that's a fact.
Hold on. They might be in the Orange.
We're going to be front row of that game.
They're not going to be.
You're going to see me sweating it out in live time.
They're not going to be in the national championship. They'll be in the Orange Bowl where they're lose to Indiana.
Would you stop?
They'll lose to Indiana for the second time.
Yeah.
For the second time in a month. For the second time in a month.
God, dude.
They'll lose first weekend of December, and lose.
You know what?
They'll lose New Year's Day at Hard Rock Stadium.
You guys are right about a lot of things with me and my fandom. The Ohio State stuff is the one thing where you're just dead wrong. And I just sit here and just laugh.
You're sitting here telling me Wisconsin's going to give them a fighter's chance. Wisconsin is the worst team in the
it's
Big Ten.
It's a house of horrors historically.
Think Northwestern is, Wisconsin is.
I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but that's a house of horrors historically for Buckeyes.
Because they lost one game there. What was that? 7 years ago they lost as the number one team in the country.
Correct.
Other than that, they have dominated
Wisconsin.
Who is
that running back? God.
That was Melvin.
No, it was before Monty. It was even before Monty. You guys had a running back.
Was it James White?
It was before all those guys. It's how old I am. But I think it was like 08, 09.
Oh,
we got
that.
Rocked.
I was talking
Terrell
about
Pryor. We got rocked.
I was talking about when they were number one team in the country. What was that? 7, 8 years? Yeah, 9 years
2011.
Ago? I'd have to go through my years.
Regardless,
I think it was like 2013.
We don't play well 14. There. So, like, the fact that you're on your third string quarterback, that makes me like a sigh of relief, you know? So, but I think we should have went. Like, that's our sister station.
You
could have showed me the city.
You would have enjoyed that.
I heard Wisconsin's amazing. I sports hate the Packers, but Wisconsin's a great state. Like, we should
have
went.
You have to come back and say how overrated jump around is.
I've been saying that ever since I was a freshman in college.
I am.
The student body stays for and then leaves.
The one thing I am so.
It's so overrated. You have no idea. The opposing team likes it more than the home team because the opposing team is usually winning.
Hang on.
That is why that
Christian,
is an issue.
Quickly. I love being Big Ten Mike. I love the stadium stuff that they do every game and the tradition. I live for that. The only thing you want to know what I don't recognize that I don't accept at the table is that stupid Mr. Brightside at Michigan. What, they started that 2 years ago and they're going to claim that song? Nice. You don't get to have Mr. Brightside, man.
I think you're
sorry.
Right. I think you're very right.
You don't get to have that.
But Penn State could own Mo Bamba.
Correct. Oh, God, yes.
Christian Katt, Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo. This was the Fifth Quarter presented by Hard Rock Bet on ESPN 106.3.